Don't you love the diversity of the music in this town? I talked to some people from Nashville, and they were bragging, and I said, let me tell you, we got some stuff down here. For those of you who look at the newsletter for the titles of the talks, we had a little mix-up in this week and next week, so the title of my talk today is, So, What Did You Expect? And it's been my experience. Next week I'll talk about the inner hero. If I can find my Superman suit, we'll do something really fun. Oh, God, you don't want to see that, trust me. I wear my cape like this around the tights, you know. It has been my experience in the years that I've been coming here since 1986 that those of us who are attracted to teachings like this one are usually people who like to be in control of our spiritual growth. We like to choose who we listen to. We like to choose the books we read. We like to choose what we believe. We don't want somebody up here telling us what we're supposed to believe. So it comes as no surprise that quite a few of us also like to be in control of our day-to-day life, too. You know, because wherever we go, wherever, whatever we do, we are the kind of people who like to show up well prepared for whatever might happen. Whenever we do anything, whether it's going shopping or going down the river rafting, like they did yesterday, we like to think ahead. Of course, there are some of us who are a little more intense about being prepared than others. In fact, for some of us, and you know who you are, I could point out a few, but I won't. If we don't know exactly what's going to happen before we get to where we're going, whether it's a class or a business meeting or a blind date or whatever it happens to be, we can't stand it. So what we do is we form our own preconceived notions about what we think is going to happen, and then we do all of our planning and acting on those ideas. Now, those preconceived notions that we go into things with are what we call expectations. Now, here's an example that a friend of mine sent me some time back on an email, and it comes from a little fun way to look at this. It comes from an old list of things that every northerner should know before they visit or move to the south, okay? How many native southerners do we have here? Okay, how many transplanted northerners? That's me, one of us. Okay, fair fight, even. Okay, that's great. So anyway, here are some things the Yankees should expect, I am told. Just five of them, whatever. That won't do the whole list. Number one, do not expect to understand what people are saying, but don't worry about it. They can't understand you either. That's one. Number two, do not be surprised to find movie rentals, groceries, shotgun shells, and bait in the same store. That's good. Number three, be advised that the statement, the SOB deserved it, is a valid legal defense here. Number four, if you hear a man in a baseball cap with green teeth call out, hey, y'all, watch this, please stay out of the way. These are likely to be the last words he will ever say. And number five, if there is the slightest prediction of even a tiny accumulation of snow, all school and all public events will be canceled, and your presence is required at the local grocery store. Even if you don't need anything, you're still expected to be there. So those are, you know, kind of five things. Now, there were more on the list. It was kind of cute. But these were a few that I liked. And I think most of us transplants who have lived in the South for any length of time realize that these stereotypes are not really true, except the one about the snow. But if a person in, let's, and it's outside the perimeter we're talking about too. So anyway, only kidding. Ooh. That's always good for a letter or two, you know. Only kidding. All right. But if a person in, let's say, Chicago or New Jersey had these expectations even today because they were told that by their grandparents or whatever, and they believed completely that these things were true about the South, it would probably affect their decision to visit or to move here. In other words, anything that they believe is true will have the same effect on them as if it were true, even if it isn't true at all. Or as Mark Twain once said, the things that cause us the most trouble are not the things we don't know, they are the things we think we know that just ain't so. It's a great statement. So today I want to talk about just that. I'm going to talk about how our life and our world are actually shaped by what we expect. So we'll be talking about where our expectations come from. We'll talk about how we allow our expectations to limit us. And then we'll talk about how we can use our expectations differently to make our life better. So let's start at the most basic level. For some of you, this is old information. For some of you, it's brand new. But let's all get on the same page here. We teach here every week that our thoughts and our beliefs become our experience. That's how the creative power, the universal mind, this thing that we call God, knows what to create. Our thoughts give it direction, not how to do it, but what to do, and we let the universal mind take care of the how. So whether we realize it or not, consciously or unconsciously, all the time we are telling the universe what we want. Now, sometimes we're very specific about what we want, but most of the time we are not. Most of the time we are very, very vague. We're very general. Most of the time we have some sort of notion about what we think we might want or some thoughts about what most people like us usually get, and that's sort of what we think we're probably going to end up getting, which is, you might note, not a very powerful way to give direction. It needs to be more specific. Now, how do our expectations fit in? Well, our expectations are the strongest beliefs that we have, primarily because of where they come from. Now, many of our expectations come from our past experiences, which can be very, very powerful, especially if there are painful memories attached to them, which is not always the case, but more often than not, it is. If something happened to us even years ago, and as a result, our life was turned upside down, we sometimes adopt the expectation that it's always going to be that way. If we started a business years ago, for example, and the business did not work out, it failed, we may never try again because now we expect to fail. If we were married or in a long-term relationship and it didn't work out, we may now and forever expect all of our relationships to end up that way so we don't allow ourselves to be open to loving anyone else. The problem is, if our expectations are strong enough, then they become a mental and emotional filter that only allows us to see things that we have seen before. And I don't just mean our immediate experiences either. I mean we will see these things everywhere we look. If our past relationships or our past experiences with money were not good, it may seem to us that everybody we know is getting divorced or everybody we know is having financial problems, which only reinforces our expectations. And that's when our belief in the power of the past becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy that we carry with us into our future. It becomes so much a part of our mental and spiritual perception, of our mental and spiritual landscape, that we fail to realize that it doesn't need to apply anymore. Now, another way that we pick up limiting expectations is through the world of what we call scientific fact. That is, we assume that things are always exactly what they appear to be, or exactly the way the experts tell us that they are, but that's not always the case. Sometimes what we expect to see can actually keep us from seeing what's really there. There was an interesting experiment I saw years ago. It was absolutely amazing, very, very spiritual, actually, metaphysical. And in this experiment, people sat in front of a screen, a computer screen, and psychologists who were running the experiment flashed cards on the screen in front of them. They were just playing cards, like a normal 52-card deck. And they told the people the object was to see how quickly they could flash it and have the people still be able to read it. So it was a perception exercise. So they got down to the point where the cards would flash on the screen for even a hundredth of a second, where you could barely see it, but people could actually identify what the card was. But the really, really interesting part of this experiment was, at a certain point, where the people could still easily identify the cards as they flashed in front of them, the researchers started inserting cards with black hearts and diamonds and red clubs and spades. You get it? So it was the same cards, they just switched the colors, the red and the black. And no one, not one person, could identify those cards when they flashed up, even if they were on the screen twice as long as the ones that were normal that they could identify. So even though these images were right in front of them very clearly at a speed that their mind could easily handle, they could not read these particular cards because they expected something completely different. Now, medical science is another good example. We're all exposed to that. We read the paper. We listen to the news. We listen to people talk about their diseases. You ever notice how people claim their disease? It's like they want to own it. I don't want to own any diseases, but some people do. All right. But it may be something serious like cancer or HIV. It may just be the flu, whatever it is. We hear all of the statistics. We see the people on TV with the lab coats and this, and we completely accept that what we are being told are scientific facts about disease. We accept that's just the way that things are. And then, when it happens, we accept the diagnosis, whether it's ours or someone else's, and we stop looking for a different possibility. In a way, we agree to accept disease as normal instead of health being normal, which is why most people think that it's normal for other people to get sick. Meanwhile, what we are not noticing that's going on right in front of us is how many people are not getting sick, or how many people are actually recovering from serious diseases. And this is especially interesting when you realize that in the beginning, scientific thinking was not about knowing the facts, it was about questioning the facts. Science is about asking questions. That's how new discoveries happen. They come from people who have learned to expect the unexpected. To expect the unexpected. Then there are those expectations that we pick up from the important people in our life, from our parents, our siblings, our neighbors, our teachers, our ministers, all those people. These occasionally, frequently, misinformed experts teach us sometimes at a very early age, that there are certain things we ought to expect about the world and about other people. They say there are certain things to expect about men or about women or about Democrats or Republicans or about people of different races, different religions, or different lifestyles. Now, they don't always say it that openly, but the subtle messages get planted very clearly into our mind when we're children, and they end up seeming perfectly normal to us because we don't know any better. But here's what happens. As we get older, and we've all experienced this, because we learned to expect certain behavior from certain kinds of people, that's the kind of behavior we started to look for, and because that's what we looked for, guess what we saw? Exactly what we expected to see. Of course, if their behavior did not match our expectations, we either couldn't see it, just like the experiment with the playing cards, or we just shrug our shoulders and say, well, that's an exception. That's not the way things are. Now, this is really where things like sexism and racism and homophobia come from. They don't come from people who are intentionally cruel. They come from people who are confused and misinformed. That's why we need to feel compassion instead of anger when we see these things. But what confuses me is why so many of our expectations seem to be pointed in a negative direction, because they don't have to be. For example, most of the world is caught up in the expectation that life is supposed to be difficult instead of easy. Most people expect that things are going to get worse before they get better. We expect political campaigns to go negative. We expect our taxes to go up. We expect the market to go down right after we buy or up right after we sell. You know, I knew that was going to happen. You know, that's what they say. We expect the contractor to show up late, right? My apologies to any contractors, but that's what people expect. Tell me this. How many times have you ever heard anyone say, why don't we just plan for the best case scenario? Ever? Never. Not once. It's always the worst case scenario. I mean, the world seems to have this collective attitude that whenever things go right, it's just luck. It's just luck. They expect the worst, and then when it happens, they just shake their heads and they say, well, what did you expect? Everybody knows that that's the way things work. Now, fortunately, and this is what we talk about in this teaching, we do have the ability to change the way we think. But we need to be clear first about what we are thinking. We need to know what our expectations really are before we can change what we're thinking, and we need to change what we are thinking before we can change what we are creating, because that's where it comes from. So it's time we began to recognize that this chronic pessimism is not only depressing and tiresome, it is also spiritually and physically self-destructive. It is spiritually destructive because it causes us to accept a very limited and negative view of life at the level of our deepest thoughts and emotions, which is the level at which we create our life. And it is physically destructive, not just with our body, but with wars and all these things we see in the physical world, because our deepest beliefs about how life works are always going to be reflected in our physical experience. Always, always, always. So if we expect things to be difficult, they will be difficult. Next time you hear somebody say, I know this is going to be hard, reject, delete, stop it right there, okay? If we expect people to disappoint us, we will continue to be disappointed. If we expect suffering, tragedy, and drama in our life, some people welcome it, but if we expect it, we will be constantly entertained by a dazzling collection of diseases, failures, and relationship problems. You can take that to the bank. Now, there was a man by the name of Preston Bradley. I saw the quote, and I had to look up who he was. He was actually a traditional minister, but he was very liberal and very socially active in Chicago for over 50 years. He died in the 1980s, but he was a big force in shifting the energy, the consciousness of the inner city of Chicago when it was in a very bad state. And he wrote this about success. He says, "The world has a way of giving what is demanded of it. If we are frightened and look for failure and poverty, we will get them no matter how hard we may try to succeed." And then he says, "Lack of faith in ourselves, in what life will do for us, cuts us off from the good things of the world. Expect victory and you make victory. Expect success and you make success. Expect prosperity and you make prosperity. Expect love and you attract love." Those are my words, but it's just an extension of what he said. Now, this is not just an optimistic platitude from some motivational speaker. We hear that kind of stuff all the time. It is actually a clear statement of a very old, old, powerful and spiritual truth that goes back to the beginning of the awakening, the spiritual awakening of the human race, which was that point where we started to realize that there was something greater than we were and that we needed to figure out what our relationship was with it. It's expressed in every writing, in every great teaching that ever existed, in 100 or 1,000 different ways. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a woman thinketh in her heart, so is she. We are told in all of these teachings, good or bad, we get what we expect. So here's the question. How do we turn things around? Because most of us in this room today, and I know many of you personally, are probably a lot more positive than you were when you first came in here. I know I am. I'll tell you, big change, okay? But why does the world around us seem to be more and more negative if we're getting more positive? It's not just a matter of comparison. That's what we need to figure out. And here's my theory. I believe it's because living this way, not just thinking this way, that isn't going to work. Living this way requires a quantum change, a visceral change, not only in the way that we think, it requires a quantum change in the way that the world thinks. You see, this teaching, this truth that we talk about week after week states that we don't expect problems in the world because the problems are there. It states that we continue to have the problems we have in the world because of our continued expectation that they will always be there. In other words, as long as we accept our problems as normal and inevitable, they will continue to appear. That's what Dr. Holmes tells us in The Science of Mind. He says it this way. It's a good quote. He says, we should work. And when he says work, he's talking about our mental and our spiritual work, taking control of what we are thinking and what we are feeling and where our consciousness is directed. He said, we should work not with anxiety, but with expectancy, not by coercion, but with conviction, not through compulsion, but in a state of conscious recognition and receptivity. We do not have to drive or push, but we must accept and believe. That means if we want to create a better life and a better world, we need to start expecting something better, not just sometimes, not just when things look bad, but all the time. We should have a constant expectation of something better. If we have any desire to create a world that is just as positive as we are, or as positive as we would like to be, some of us are still working on it, then we need to change what we think and believe is normal in order to create a space for something better to happen. So we need to change our mind about what we accept as true in the world, what we accept as normal in the world. Money problems and relationship problems and health problems do not keep showing up in our life because they have a power of their own. They are not being sent to us from somewhere else. They keep showing up because our expectations about them are keeping them alive. We are giving them the power that they are using to come into our life. So you could say, here's the bumper sticker or the t-shirt, because we expect them and do not reject them, we continue to collect them. That's basically what it is, okay? Because we expect them and do not reject them, we continue to collect them. Now, on a larger scale, it's the same thing with war and crime and disease and addiction and abuse and all these other things in the world. It is the world's expectation that these things are inevitable that makes them appear and reappear over and over everywhere in the world. So that statement, history repeats itself, is not a cosmic truth. It's actually a human misunderstanding that's keeping us from making the world a better place for everyone in it, including us. If we have any intention, and this is all about intention, if we have an intention of creating something new and wonderful in our lives, something better and more desirable than what happens to be there now, it's going to have to come from within. It's got to come from within. It has to come from our divine center, from that place in us that's always more powerful than our present situation or our past experiences. It has to come from that wisdom that we are connected to that is more powerful than our old ideas and definitely more powerful than the people who tell us that nothing is ever going to change. It's got to be. Also, because change is an inside job, we should not expect the world to make us happy. And we should not expect our job to make us happy, or our bank account to make us happy, or other people to make us happy. Because if we expect something outside of us to make our life better, we are setting ourselves up to be disappointed. You see, when people or circumstances out there disappoint us, the normal human tendency is to lower our expectations. That's what we do. Whenever somebody doesn't show up, doesn't pay us back, doesn't do something we think they should, we just go, well, I should have expected that, and we keep ratcheting down our expectations. That does not serve us well, it doesn't serve them well, and it doesn't serve the world well. Because we are not here to adjust ourselves to the world, we are here to adjust the world to the highest consciousness that we can possibly have. That's why we're here. We are here to create a life that fulfills us and to improve the world simply by living well in it and thinking the best of it. We are here to express life in wonderful, exciting, and passionate ways. We are here to expect the best and to get it. Now, here's one last thing to think about. If this thing that we call our life is actually a perfect loving intelligence creating through us and as us, that's what we believe, and if we can direct this power based on what we expect, that's what we believe too, then what should we expect of God and what should God expect of us? And we're not talking about God out there, we're talking about God as the presence in us. So what should we expect of God and what should God expect of us? Let's start with the easy one. What should we expect of God? And I say of God, not from God, because it's where we are. It's not something that's coming to us. What we should expect of God and of life is vibrant health, unlimited abundance, perfect peace, and love without measure. That's it. The universe owes us the opportunity to create a life which is perfect in every way, and that is what we should expect. But what should God expect of us? Three things. First of all, God, this power, should expect of us that we keep the truth first and foremost in our mind, which means we should see the presence of something better in every person, every place, and everything. We should live as if this power is always right where we are as our body, mind, and soul, what Joel Goldsmith called practicing the presence. That's first. The next thing that God should expect of us is that we live our life consciously and joyfully, without burying ourselves in anger, fear, hatred, all those other things that we get caught up in. And finally, this is the one people don't do. We should be expected to pray on a regular basis. I can hear you. Oh, man, that's why I left the Baptist. I got tired of that prayer stuff, you know? Okay. Now, that doesn't mean we should say the rosary every day or spend five times a day leaning towards Mecca and doing our prayer. There's nothing wrong with those practices, but that's not what I'm talking about. It means that we should constantly keep our mind open and focused on something greater than what we see. Emerson said, prayer is the contemplation of the facts of life from the highest point of view. That's what prayer means. This is the kind of life that we're meant to live. And it's time that we started turning around the things that are going on by turning around our own expectations of what life can be. That is actually what people around the world are learning from teachings like this one, and it is beginning to make a difference. You can see it with Oprah and Chopra and Wayne Dyer and all these people. We can see the difference happening. And each one of us, we have to remember this, creates in our own mind a greater expectation of life that we enjoy, as each one of us does this, of people who support us, of work that we love, of all good things happening. As we start to expect that, we will find that image unfolding in front of us. And eventually, as this way of thinking and living and being reaches a critical mass, which is more people believe it more powerfully than those who don't, we will find ourselves living in a world that looks the way that we all want it to look. That's not something we should hope for. It's not even something we should pray for. It's what we should expect. This is the truth in your life, and this is the truth in mine. And so it is. And so it is. Thank you. All right. Thank you. All right. Take these ideas as your own. I give them to you freely. Set the others aside for later. Let's take a few moments in the silence of our own heart and mind to know this truth. I know that life is meant to be an incredibly beautiful experience in every way. I expect from this moment on that my life will be getting better and better every single day. I expect to encounter kind people. I expect abundance to flow to me. I expect my physical being to be vibrant and healthy and whole. I expect to give love and to receive it. I expect this because I know the truth that this is the way the law works. This is what life is. This is the gift I have been given and the gift that I am able to give. I am not just receiving this, I am imparting it. I am giving it to others. I am the answer to others' expectation, and they are the answers to mine. We are in this game, blending together, recognizing that we are truly the gift for each other. And as I begin to see the world in a different way, I see parts of the world that were always there that I didn't notice before. I begin to open my mind to a greater expression, a greater experience. I begin to open my mind to new and better ways to act, to live, to create, to give, and to receive. And as these new opportunities reveal themselves to me, even though they were always there, now I can see them, now I can express them, and my life expands. And as my life expands, the life of everyone around me is capable of expanding, and life changes. It doesn't really change, but the way in which we live it does. So I invite you to take a few moments now in the silence of your own heart and mind, and in that silence, simply allow yourselves to expect great things in your life today. And tomorrow it will be today, and the day after that it will be today. But allow yourself, just for this moment, to expect the greatest things that life has to offer, and then go out today and expect the miracles. Take these moments for silence, for yourself in silence. With gratitude for this awareness and a clear understanding of its sacred significance in our life, we accept this truth as our own. We accept the greater possibility that exists for us. We accept the beauty of all other people, the beauty of the world, the beauty of the law, and the beauty of spirit as it dwells within us. And as we release this awareness into consciousness, allowing our word to go into the law, it does its good and perfect work. It grows, expands, it heals, it blesses, and prospers. This is our truth. We accept it, and we release it into consciousness, letting it be so for us now and always. And so it is.